Hey everyone.
Hello, hello.
Happy Friday. Alrighty, checking to see if there were any questions submitted. Live now. Looks like Rob dropped a
Hi,
question.
guys.
Hey Rob, good to see you.
I was going to say long time no see, Doug, but that would be completely lying.
I know, it feels like just yesterday we were on like a 2 hour call. That was a good call.
Yeah,
A good
really
call.
interesting, actually.
Hey, Kim,
Not
good to see you.
sure I resolved much, but lots of food for thought for sure.
I was going to say that it definitely brought up a lot more to think about. Like, I spent the rest of my day like mapping things out, like, okay, what if I did this?
Yeah, I need to do some of
Yep. All right, who do we
that.
have here? It's your name on there is owner. Oh, you're muted there.
Okay, Tim, I have to
Oh.
change this to a new computer here. Hey, guys.
Hey Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Good to see you.
Hey, Rob. Hey, folks.
All right, let's get
Hi,
started the way
Kevin.
that we typically handle a lot of this for anyone new that's joining us is that if you have questions you want to submit in advance, you're totally welcome to do that inside of the events and office hours space. And what the way we do it is that we answer those questions first and then we tackle anything else that anyone else has for the rest of the hour. Looks like Rob, you submitted one. You're saying that you're on your 14-day free trial of Circle's plan and it expires Monday. And if you start by buying the monthly option, can you still upgrade to like the annual and get the discount? Is that kind of what you're asking there?
Yeah, I've gone the professional one. And yeah, I just wondered, obviously they try and get you to do commit to the annual thing and you get a 10% discount, but I'm on the trial and I just thought, oh, is that still available to me if I like start it just by paying monthly to begin with as like sort of find my feet, and then I think, okay, yeah, this is good, I'm going to commit to the year to get a bit of a saving. That offer will still be valid, even though I've on the trial. I thought, does being on the trial stop you having access to that? I didn't think it probably did, but I just wondered if you knew for sure.
So obviously they could change the way this works and I have no say in that, but I was on a monthly plan
Oh, were you?
for years, like 2 years, and then I decided to change to the annual to save. So
Okay.
my assumption here, I don't have like documentation, but my assumption is they're willing to take your money in larger sums at any time. So I'm going to assume that that's not going to go away. The ability to do that's probably not going to go away. What may go away is they may stop offering a discount. I mean, I wouldn't like sit on it for a long period of time, but you should have no problem upgrading.
Okay. No, that's good. Yeah, that, I thought it was probably that's all it was, but Yeah, because I was on the annual plan when I first signed up, and then I just switched over to monthly just because my business was at the point I had to switch to monthly. But I think when there is the option to upgrade and like to the annual and whatever, like the you do get the discount, like whatever the annual discount is from like going from monthly to annual. Yeah, I got those sort of vibes, Russell, that they were fairly flexible. And as you say, Doug, they're like a lot of these businesses, especially the tech ones, they're just keen to sort of get you to commit and take more money from you. Because I was only in it for like the trial for like 3 days in or something, and I got an email from them saying, if you commit to an annual plan, you can save 10%. So that was like straight away they were trying to upsell me. I hadn't even sort of opened the thing up, but
Yeah,
okay, that's good to know.
I don't know if that's like an additional 10% if you upgrade now off the trial or if it's just their normal deal. I can't imagine it's more.
I think it was just the regular thing, actually,
Yeah, you can do
from
that at any
memory.
time.
But okay, cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's open it up now. If anyone else has any questions or just open, feel free to just raise your hand or start asking. And if no one asks, by the way, feel free. I saw Kim, you're raising your hand. Go for it.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm new here, so I just joined in then. But I have a question about Sure, because I'm in that family of products, the Sure Cart, and installing it. I've got it installed on two domains, a subdomain and a main domain. I did install it on the subdomain first, and then I've got it on the main site. My questions are, Which site do people actually check out from, and how do you prevent users from checking out on, site A? What's the obvious workflow for that? And then if you're using, then I've got a question about sure triggers when it creates the account on the second domain.
Cool. So you have options here. I'll walk you through my setup first. I have a subdomain, my members.convology.com. I don't even put Shurkart on my primary domain. What I do instead is I just from my primary domain link to my subdomain when somebody goes to check out. So the process all of you went through was you probably went to convology.com, went to my sales page, clicked a button that's like, yeah, I want to join. And then that took you to my subdomain where you checked out. The only reason I can see putting Shurkart on your primary domain as well is if you want to create a very specifically curated experience where they never leave your main site and they can add products to a cart, like I want this, 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 and this, add to cart. And then what you want to, and then if you don't want to keep everything on your primary domain and you want to go to the subdomain, then we start talking about doing that setup that I made a video on where you're pushing the user over with sure triggers. So Kim, my question to you is, do you have a specific reason to have it on both? If not, I would say just keep it on the subdomain, and that's going to save you a ton of work.
Yeah, I know that. But then, yeah, then but if I was like selling like products and something, they couldn't do it all to they couldn't do a la carte, but I mean, add to cart. But does that really matter? Yeah, from your experience.
Not for me, not for my business. People have no problem buying something and then going back through and buying another through another funnel.
Okay.
The only time that this would maybe matter is if you're trying to create like a true e-commerce experience, like a WooCommerce or an Amazon, a Shopify type thing where you're selling bracelets or shoes or something, and someone's going to add a bunch of products to their cart and then check out. But if you're building like funnels for I sell courses, I sell that type of thing. If you're building funnels for digital products, you don't need that a la carte thing. Some like I think
Okay.
Rob here, Rob in our community here, at one point Rob was going to go through that process because Rob sells like PDF workbooks and some digital products. And Rob's setup is such that he wants people to add a bunch of products to the cart and then check out. What Rob ended up doing is just deciding, you know what? It's a ton of work to build that experience, keep them on the primary domain, push them to a subdomain. Rob just decided to keep it all in the primary domain because it's that much work. So if you're trying to curate that experience and you want the add to cart, go with one domain. But otherwise, yeah, just do what I do. Just push them to the subdomain. No one cares. People don't care what URL they're on when they buy something.
Okay, so just yeah, keep all the sales pages and everything on the primary domain, and just push them when they check out to
Yep.
the site. Okay.
That's my recommendation.
Now, right, and so that way you wouldn't really need to create an account on another page, you on another site, because it's already being done through just having one site. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm assuming that also solved the second half of your question about shirt triggers because it's just not needed at that point.
It's just not needed, but because but I was curious. I mean, if sure triggers is creating an account in WordPress, how does it know not to duplicate accounts? Because WordPress does use unique usernames and unique emails as, so is there, I'm just curious, is there a way to prevent duplicate accounts?
It just matches to the existing email. It uses the email as the identifier. So if Doug at Convology made a purchase from you last week, and then I come back to your site and Doug at Convology makes a purchase from you this week, it's going to try to make the account, but the trigger is I think it has like some fine print that says if it exists, we'll just match it to the email. So it's just going to say two things are going to happen. Shurkart's going to say, oh, this person's already a customer. And SureTriggers is going to say, oh, this person already has a WordPress account. Cool. I'm not going to make one. And so it just skips that, and Shurkart says, they exist. So I'll just grant that email access to whatever they just purchased, and the customer can just log in like normal.
Right, so the username is not really relevant. It's secondary.
It's secondary.
Okay.
I mean, I assume there might, I haven't tested this, but I assume there might be some weird hiccup where if a user existed with a different username but had the same email and you tried to create an account with a different username, I don't know what would happen. It would probably just be like, I can't do this.
Right. Yeah, I'm probably thinking way too deep, but I just thought about it.
Yeah, no, cool thoughts. That's the kind of stuff I sit around and if I had time, I would test and see what happens. Cool. All right. Anyone else have questions they want to jump in with? Feel free. And if not, feel free to interrupt me. But if no one has questions, the way we typically go with, about this is we just start chatting about what's going on in the tech world. So you're welcome to hang out. And if you have questions at any time, even after we start chatting, feel free to raise your hand.
Yeah, I had one question. It's kind of tech related, but not in a conventional sense. One thing I've been meaning to do for ages, because I've sort of dabbled around with it in the past, but I'm committing to it now, is I need to kind of get my documents sorted. So I use Google Docs and the Google sort of space quite a bit. But what I don't like about it is, well, A, it's Google. B, it's not portable in a kind of, future-proofing kind of sense. I don't want to be tied to a proprietary platform and so on. I like using a lot of open source stuff wherever possible. And what I do find is that those documents, particularly in Google Docs, become like silos. So they just become dumping grounds. And the reason I keep the notes in the first place, A, is to capture just, oh, that's a good idea, or why I could do this. What I want is to kind of join those things up, so that they're connected, so that because I have problems with my memory, so I'm looking to technology to kind of help solve that some of that problem that I've got. But also then what I wanted to do, instead of these being passive sort of silos of great stuff, great ideas, I want to make them active. So that's why I want to, so I'm looking at kind of sort of note-taking software and like the second brain stuff. And I've been playing around with a few things on and off down the years, actually. But more recently, I think I've probably decided that I'm going to go with Obsidian. And I don't know if anyone here's used any of those platforms or has seen anything much about them or got any experience they can share.
I have spent way too much time in Obsidian.
I've tried it. My main problem always comes back to I can never find a single particular app that does everything that I want. So I always go try the next one and I'm like, okay, let me go try Notion. I don't know, blah, 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 too much work. So I'm like, okay, let me go try Apple Notes, which by the way, Apple Notes is getting a lot better these days. But then I'm like, okay, but I do half my workflow on a PC and half my workflow on a Mac. I have both sitting right here that I use every day. And so I'm like, I don't know, I think Obsidian's a great application. For what you just described, I think it would probably do everything that you
The thing
want it
that
to do.
drives me particularly is, although the company itself is a kind of private company, and it's not completely open source, everything is in Markdown, so it's fully portable in that sense. And that's why I won't go to something like Notion, or because I did look at Notion and I was quite tempted by it in a way. But as soon as I started like really doing some homework and watching quite a lot of videos on YouTube, I kind of thought that Obsidian. How did you, can I ask, LaRosa, how did you end up with Obsidian? Did you do this similar sort of thought journey, or did you just dive straight into it?
For me, it started off because I was using, because I'm a very much a Mac person, so I was using Bear, and which I still love, beautiful, beautiful interface.
Bear's great, yeah.
And it just got to the point where it's like I heard about Obsidian and wanted to give it a try. And I like the idea of the one thing about like Bear is like even though you can export, like you can write a Markdown and export it, it's all stuck in a single database. So like if anything happens to that database, then there go your files. Whereas, like, well, even though it's like synced to the cloud and all that, but the nice thing about Obsidian was like I'm dealing with flat files. I can open up the file. I can take those files like anywhere I want to, and which I've done. I migrated from Bear to Obsidian, and like right now my primary application for note taking is NotePlan, and like I really use like that one daily just because I like the calendar interface for I do like daily notes. But the nice thing is like I can take those files if I really wanted to out of NotePlan because I use like the same file format, just plain Markdown files, take them back to
Obsidian or like whatever app comes along that can read markdown files.
And do you, because one of the things for me, LaRosa, is that I really want to. So, for example, just some really practical examples of what I've got in Google Docs. I've got, blog post and video ideas, admin ideas, revenue ideas, but they're all in separate silos. But of course, they're all connected. And yeah, you can link stuff and all that kind of thing. But, thinking way, way back, because I'm an old person, is, when the internet started, the thing that was so exciting was the whole hypertext context. The whole idea that you could hyperlink to stuff, and that make those informed smart connections between things. And that's what I, that kind of very, very basic thing. And I've been watching videos on like Markdown and getting thinking, oh, this is like I was excited was about 30 years ago, like when the internet came along, and I thought, wow, look at the potential of this. But my whole point is, but then I see loads of people like on YouTube video, watch YouTube videos of people just doing like spending like all their waking hours in role-playing games and archiving all the stuff in Obsidian, which is fine and dandy, but I just don't want to be playing in this stuff. I want it to be purposeful. And I do have a genuine, like I have a brain thing. So for me, it's got to be, I've got to put stuff in there to proactively make smart links so I can build new products, new utility in my business and that kind of stuff. And I don't know how you use it for your thing, or have you seen anyone use it that way? Kind of a bit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I really like even with like Noteplan, which is for me very similar to like the setup that I had in Obsidian. Like the main difference was being like I like making daily notes, and Noteplan just made that a whole lot easier because I could also see my calendar in there as well. But the main thing is like I really very much use it as an idea dump, where it's like I had my daily note, like any idea that I come up with, I would put a link to that in that daily note, and then go create a new document, dump all those ideas in there. That way I could easily go in, search for it and link to it. And then like, as I'm going in, creating that document, if I have another idea, I just create a link from within that document. It may not even like create the document like at that moment, but then I can always go back, click that link, and it'll make the document for me.
I use TickTick for similar to how I think you're using Noteplan. I don't know if you've tried TickTick. It's where I do all of my like idea dumping, and like I have a video hit list for all the videos I'm recording, and I create checkboxes and notes, and I have like a whole client section for like whenever I do client meetings, I dump all my client meeting notes in there. And then once I take it like to more, like if I'm trying to do more documents, I'll go into something like Obsidian. The only thing I'm holding off on Obsidian right now is, like I mentioned before, I really want synchronicity between all my devices. So I want, I'm kind of annoyed by Obsidian charging like almost the cost of the entire program just to be able to sync your devices as an add-on. So like, it's like, I guess I think it's like $50 a year for Obsidian, and then it's like $36 a year just to be able to sync your stuff across all your devices. And I'm like, argh.
There's some workarounds though, isn't there, apparently, that you
Oh, is there? I
can.
didn't know.
I mean, because the thing I was getting drawn into was GitHub and that kind of route. Where you can
Oof.
kind of sync to different cloud services and stuff like that. But there are some workarounds apparently to, and they don't seem to be that too technical, but I don't know.
Yeah,
But
it's
for
really.
me, sorry, Lewis, I was just gonna say, for me, for it to be on my laptop all the time is kind of quite a good thing. I would probably really want to benefit from using a phone. So whether I would pay for the sync, I don't know, but I could look at the workarounds, but I want to try it on the desktop for a while and see what I make of it.
Yeah, the sync works well. The only thing that I don't like about the sync is it doesn't work in the background. So like you open up the app, you have to wait for everything to sync, and then you can start using it.
That's annoying.
So like if you haven't done a whole lot, then like it takes like a second or two, like no big deal. But if you've like synced a lot of documents or whatever, between that and the last time you synced on that device, then it could take a little bit of time. But that's the only real downside to the sync. And Obsidian itself is free. Like you only have to pay, like if you're using like for business purposes, but like even then I don't pay for it. I just pay for the sync.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could get the add-on without the paid version. That changes everything.
Yeah, because yeah, the app itself is free.
Oh, I was looking at the paid version thinking I had to get that in order to buy the add-ons. Oh, okay. That's one of the reasons I like to TickTick, for example. Like, I bought it once, and if I have an idea on my phone, I just doop type it in, and then like with any device I open, my iPad, my Mac, my laptop, my PC, it's literally there on all of them. I'm such a connected person, but before I started using apps like that, if I put it on one of my devices, it never made it into my workflow. It never went anywhere. It just like got stuck in the ether of that device. So
Yeah, that's a good point, Doug, because part of the reason, like, it didn't make it into your workflow. That's part of my problem with the Google Docs. They're
yes, I
just sitting
agree.
there, so literally in the last sort of week or so, mostly with sort of cohomology stuff, I've been writing notes on paper deliberately, keeping them on paper, not to put them in Google, because I've been thinking, okay, now I've got to force myself. I don't want to put them in Google. I want to put them in something else.
That's
So
my
they're
problem
probably
with
going to go
yeah.
into, because at least if it's Markdown, so I can always export it if I change my mind.
That's my problem with Apple Notes. Like, the latest version of Apple Notes is actually really good, except anything that goes into Apple Notes just never gets looked at again. It's just like Google Drive for me. Anytime it goes in there, I'm like two years later, I'll open up Apple Notes and be like going through there and be like, oh yeah, that was a good idea I had 2 years ago. I never saw it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
gonna have
Well,
to get Obsidian.
I might tap you occasionally then, Larossa, if I've got a few questions on Obsidian. But I've been watching
Yeah,
plenty of
definitely.
stuff on YouTube. It's quite an education. It's a sort of huge rabbit hole, of course, but
It's one of those
quite good
things.
fun.
How do you spell it? I'm not familiar with it.
It's Obsidian. So as in the rock, isn't it a rock
Yeah,
or just?
Obsidian dot MD. I'll put it in the Zoom chat. I have it open. Or LaRosa beat me to it.
Yeah, it's in the chat,
Okay,
Tim.
thanks. Yeah.
It's a nice software. It's super clean. I do like Bear a little bit better. Like LaRosa,
Is
you were
that
saying.
Bear as in BEAR or Bayer?
Yeah,
Bear.
Bear
I've
as in
not
like the
heard it.
animal.
Yeah.
But it's a
Not
Mac
come
only.
across it.
It's Mac only, Rob, so for your
Ah,
Windows.
Mac.
Yeah. It's
Proprietary.
really
I hate
clean.
proprietary. I hate
It's so
it.
clean though. It's beautiful.
Yeah, like all Mac stuff. Yeah.
It's
Nice
true.
interface. Yeah.
It's true. I mean,
Yeah, true. Yeah.
if I could do all of my geeky stuff that I love to do, like with
Yeah,
games
this
and all
is.
this other stuff on a Mac, I'd be on a Mac
Yeah, this is what all tech
all
people
the
tell
time.
me. Yeah, they're
Yeah.
all tech people end up with two machines, one to do like the techie stuff and the gaming, and then
Yeah.
a Mac for everything else.
Yeah, I'm on both. I my Windows is my daily driver these days, mostly because of my monitor situation. I have like a monitor that I have two monitors side by side. I think they're like 27 or 32 inch, can't remember. And they look nice on a Mac, but I don't have like a studio display. And what drives me crazy about my Mac is everything's a little smaller, and I'm getting older now, and I'm like, ah, it's harder to see these things. And so like when I adjust my resolution, the monitor, this gets way beyond my understanding of like Macs prefer a special kind of like DPI, PPI, something or another, and they don't scale nicely unless your monitor supports that. Anyway, I'm on a 1440p monitor, which is not 4K. I haven't made that jump yet, so I'm like, ah, I don't want to spend the money needed to get the true Mac monitor experience because those don't work with
No.
Windows. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, proprietary stuff.
All right. If anyone has questions, raise your hand. Otherwise, we're just going to keep chatting like we usually do.
So I have a question for you guys who are using the Obsidian, because I'm a Notion person, Google, whatever, but I do find that some of the issues that you guys are talking about, I do have, because once the note is in Google, I can't find it unless I've linked to it from Notion. I have to find everything in Notion, and then if the link is there, then I can go to it in Google Docs. So that's how I've been doing it. But what does Obsidian do that, other than it just being on every device?
I really love Notion. Like, my only gripe with Notion is that it's online only. So like if their servers go offline, then I cannot access my data whatsoever. Whereas like
Good
Obsidian, all of
point.
my files are offline and like local to my computer or whatever device I'm on.
Never considered that one.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. I want it to be local. Absolutely want it to be local, because I just don't want to be in the cloud. I don't like the cloud. And the other thing for me, actually, and this is like as a newbie who's literally kind of only installed it in the last week, Obsidian, that is, when I was looking at all the different options, found some really good videos about why people chose Obsidian over Notion, and obviously you can do all the variations of the note takers out there. There's all kinds of versions of that. But one of the things that definitely resonated with me, because I've got a bit of ADHD as well, and these things are kind of all converge, was somebody was saying what they didn't like about Notion was the fact that it worked in a hierarchical file structure, which I don't like, because again, they were saying that was counterintuitive to like making these active links between stuff. So it's more dynamic and organic, whereas Notion was kind of forcing people to use a kind of file structure. So, I mean, if you're using Notion, Kim, I don't know how different that might feel to you.
I haven't looked at a file structure because I keep everything basically, it's dynamic and it's linked. And I like the idea of it being somewhat of a relational database in the back end of it. So, I just link things everywhere after I set a structure. I mean, I had to organize it and get it set up. And then after that, everything is just is structured. And I like the view, the interface of it too sometimes, with the gallery views, it just makes it more pleasant to work in.
Interesting.
Obsidian has a really nice canvas view. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that view, but that was one of the things that drew me in. Like it has you have the ability to like it almost looks like a Miro, if anyone's familiar with Miro, but it's just like your ability to like create these like I don't know, it's how my brain thinks. My brain makes these associations between documents, and I like to see that structure. And then I don't know if it's still a big thing now, but there used to be this thing where you could like visualize all your notes and how they're related to each other in like a graph. It was really cool. I don't think it's very functional for me, but it was cool.
No, that's the thing, Doug. I was looking at kind of the plugins that you can add to Obsidian, and with that one that you're talking about, the canvas, there's a mind mapping tool in that, or that plugs into that is an extra plugin or something. But and I use mind maps a lot, but I use kind of XMind, which is kind of a few years old, and it's kind of changed its thing over to like a newer version, which is subscription only, which again, I didn't sort of want to go to that. But the one I use is quite, it's pretty fully functional actually. But again, it's kind of not completely proprietary because you can export out of it quite easily. But that in Obsidian appealed to me. And then also the Kanban boards as well. So for projects, so moving things across the stages, I don't know if you've got that deep, LaRosa, but that's definitely something I would use for the business.
I'm gonna have to check out Obsidian. I didn't know it can do the Kanban stuff.
Yeah, there's once you sort of start digging, it can do an awful lot actually.
Interesting.
And that's nice in Notion. I like that in Notion.
Oh yeah. I could a Notion I just realized was gonna be too deep for my brain. I'm like, I would spend all of my time building Notion and none of my time using Notion, and that's my big problem these days. I've simplified my life, like all of my tech stack. I'm like, okay, am I going to spend more time building this tech stack or using it? If the answer is building it, I don't use it anymore. I like try to cut it out of my life because I just.
Yeah, how I avoided that in Notion, that's what I went through the first couple of years. And then I just decided I'm going to get someone's that's already built it. I'm going to take that and import it in. And that's what I've used. And it works for me. I mean, everything is there. And I, you can make your tweaks to it if you're techie savvy enough. And that's worked for me. But until then, I was trying to build it and I was like, I can't do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's what I would do too. I would just buy like Second Brain or whatever that those big ones are that they sell.
Yeah, and that's the one that I got. And it's not an overkill, but it's good. It's a solid foundation.
Cool. Did I'm about to change the topic unless anyone else has more. I was looking at ZipWP, and it looks like they launched that blueprint functionality. I know LaRosa, you might be one of the only ones as interested as I am in that. I don't know what Kim and Tim do over in your businesses, but like that blueprint functionality of being able to create blueprinted templated sites and then just like share a link and have someone be able to just like bloop take it. It's almost like because I don't know if you're all familiar with how I share my files and stuff. I'm sharing like download links and I'm like, oh, if you want to build this template, here's the HTML code for the Spectra blocks for you to copy and paste in. This I'd be able to say, here, just click here, import a version of the Spectra site, tweak it however you want, and then copy it and import it into your own site. or even just like with my client work, I'd be able to spin up something and hand it off. I thought that was wildly cool.
Yeah, I saw that, and then yeah, they got a few other things that they're working on too. Like I saw a video that I watched like the first couple of minutes of it, then realized it doesn't apply to me, but they're making ZipWP available to web hosts.
Yeah, I saw the price and I'm like, I don't want to be a web host that bad.
Yeah.
It was expensive. I mean, it was wild. It was like, was it tens of thousands of dollars, wasn't it? Just something bonkers like that.
Yeah, I didn't even look that far. I was like,
Yeah, don't look that
I'm not
far.
using this, so
As soon as you see the price, but it looked really cool. Like if you were a web host and you wanted to make that a feature available to your customers, I had a dream years ago to be a web host. I'm so glad I didn't do that.
yeah. And then Adam posted a new video last couple of days, so I think they're about a week or two out from doing the wireframes as well.
Yeah, that I'm really looking forward to. Just being able to do that with my clients, because a lot of my clients these days, it's so one thing I'm emphasizing is don't sell the tools, sell the service. But what's really neat about the site mapping layout in ZipWP is that it looks really cool. And you can kind of get them to make the association between the tool, but when you bring it up on like a Zoom call and you're like, let's look at your website layout here. What are you thinking? And then like you push a button, it generates the site map, and then it generates the way it looks. It's impressive to the client, and the client feels like they're participating and they like the process. So while you're selling this, it's like a combo of service and software, and so they love that experience. And you, and then even as a user, like I'm gonna get a ton of use out of that. I don't know if you caught this. Adam made a statement about the designs where he said some of the designs are specific to the industries. Like there's particular yoga designs that, and then some of them are more generic. I'm wondering how far that's going because that was my biggest critique. The designs were just all the same and they were all five same designs, pretty cookie cutter. But if they're starting to build ones for different industries, I'm hoping one day the AI, because I'm just being critical. I don't really think there's much AI involved with that at all, with what they're building. I think it's actually just more programmatic. I think the AI again loosely only comes in with their OpenAI integration for content writing. The rest of it's just a really neat, like, it's a system. It's programmed. It's gonna put together blocks
It's
based on
like,
what it's
here are
told
the
to do.
patterns we built. We'll just pick a random one.
Yeah, it's not AI. But that's the world we're in these days. Everything's AI if it can automate. But I think it's looking really good, and I'm eager to see how that pans out. What I would love to have happen is if anyone knows, like Cadence had that, like Cadence exploded when they offered that like library for you to be able to sell your own designs and build your own, like they exploded, and I always looked at it from afar and been envious of it. I'm hoping that the Shurcart team brings in something like that and allows us to, because it'd be a moneymaker for them, tie that into with ZipWP, Shurcart, and allow us to sell templates and stuff like that way. Because then I would just use that to sell my or to share my designs with my community.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. Yeah, I was playing. I was building a website for a client earlier this week, and I found like one limitation in Spectra that I wish I could fix.
What is it?
So the loop builder is like great, but there's no way to use it with a slider.
Oh,
So like I wanted to do
okay.
like a client testimonials and put it in a slider, and because I had like a custom post type built for that, and then like I wanted to feed that into the page, but wasn't able to. So I just had to build like a just a generic loop that listed them all, but not in a slider.
I hadn't thought about that. So no post lists then in a slider? Or do they have a post list slider?
They have a post list slider, but it's just like it only really works for posts.
Yeah, okay. But nothing you can build like a loop for like custom loops. I
Yeah,
hadn't thought
because
about
I
that.
tried to use that one, but it wasn't working for what I needed to do.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll add that or if they're working on it. Maybe submit it to an idea board. I
Yeah,
like
because a lot
the
of
idea.
websites that I had that I built in Elementor, and I was trying to switch it over to Spectra, and like that was the one thing that I couldn't do.
Yeah, I've been playing around a lot with Spectra lately. Its capabilities are getting pretty impressive in terms of, and my capabilities have significantly grown over the last 2 months. Like you said, I'm able to build almost anything in Spectra that I could build in Thrive, and I'm able to build functionally almost everything. The only thing I can't really do, like I had to buy that grid builder, the grid WP thing, grid pane, and then I'm still waiting for like absolute and relative positioning. Those would be really nice, but apparently they're coming, and those would be really nice. I've kind of been holding off releasing my course about like Spectra because I know they're just on this verge of making another huge addition, and I just know like I have everything mapped out. I just know the minute I start recording all those videos and finish them up, they're just gonna update the whole darn thing, and then it's gonna be totally different, and I'm just gonna be like lose my mind because it's a lot of work. I've been recording all my videos for my high level course that's coming out next week, and every stinking day they're adding new features, and I'm like, dang it, I gotta add another video. Gotta add another video. Like today they added this awesome automation for subscriptions, and that needs a video. So yeah, Spectre's really good. I'm really happy I made that swap over
Yeah,
on
it's
my
like the
main
only thing
site.
that I'm just trying to figure out is I need to find a good method for doing styling of like sizing of text that's independent of like heading levels without just having like a CSS file where I'm just dropping in classes.
That's a good point. I'm frustrated by text in general with Spectra and Astra.
Closest thing I have found with the texting, a guy I think is David Boy. He did something on the framework, and it works. I had to tweak it and do some things, but for me, because I'm like a cadence person, it worked actually pretty good. It's way better than just because the text is all over the place if you just leave it within these page builders and. The way that they did, but the way that he set it up, I think he uses like clamp or something, kind of like what Cadence used in the back end, and to have it size. And I thought it works because I set it up on some sites. So that framework is, it actually does work.
I'd be tempted to try that out. It goes back to like one of the, there's some really good things that like Generate Press is doing with like class management that they're coming out with. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But like just with the default like Spectra, there's nothing. So I might have to look at like Framework or something like that. I wanted to avoid adding another plugin into the mix, but I don't know if I can because like every time I try to work with my text, I get frustrated by like line height is like I've set the line height. It just doesn't respect it anywhere. I've set the font size, I've set the spacing and return, like when I hit enter, I feel like everywhere I go now, like a return is treated differently. Like in Circle, a return is treated differently from in my Gmail, a return is treated differently in the block editor. I'm just losing my mind over like when I hit enter, I want it to be consistent everywhere.
Yeah, Divi does it one way and it's a little block craziness.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh. So I might just have to look at the framework. I know what you're talking about, Kim. There's a, I think it's a tool called Framework, right? Like a.
No, actually, he just built and you just built in a CSS file and you just drop it in and
Oh.
it yeah. But he did use a tool to kind of like generate the clamp settings or, you know, because you gotta look at what sizes that you want and you have to like designate them. Like there's about you have about five or six different sizes, but that's basically all you need. And you're, you know, when you're looking across the your entire website and how it
Yeah.
shrinks with the different, you know, what do you call it?
Like the responsive.
Tablet. Yeah, the tablet. Yeah. The tablet, the desktop, and the portal and the mobile. So it's just, I just basically have a CSS file that I've used. Like I said, I had to tweak it so that it would adjust based on, because, and the other thing that you have to worry about is each font, the amount of space that each font takes up is different. You know, it goes back to, you know, when they were doing newspapers and doing the whole typesetting. And yeah,
Kerning and yeah.
that threw me for a little bit. So you have to be conscious of that as well.
LaRosa linked to Core Framework. That's the one I was thinking about. I would be curious how compatible Core Framework is with something like Astra and Spectre. Have you tried it, LaRosa? Because that might be a workaround.
It works okay, and if you're going to use any framework, this is the one that works best because it's the only one that really works with like core Gutenberg. Like automatic CSS really only works well with like bricks and page builders.
Yeah, I can't go that route.
Yeah.
That's
But
interesting.
this
So
one, like you can actually use it for free with Gutenberg.
that's really interesting because I have been trying to get my Gutenberg experience to match the front end experience forever, and I'm close, but I'm not perfect yet. What I'm getting at is I want to see in the Gutenberg block builder what I see on the front end. If I hit enter, that amount of space, I want it to be the same. Kim, if you get a chance, I'd love it if you want to like share that CSS file. Or you can drop it in the community or direct message me, or no pressure if you can't. But that, because that's something that I might be even more interested in, just having a single file than having to do a
Right. I'll see
plugin.
if I can't find it because you have to do it as a download.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
like I've gotten to the point where I'm starting to build like CSS files and like for websites that I'm building, where it's like I just take this file, drop in the CSS as like a code snippet.
Yeah. That's kind of the direction I'm looking at. I'm doing a lot of CSS work these days, and I don't know enough about CSS to be doing what I'm doing, so I'm all about like templatizing and systematizing my use of it.
Yeah, it's like, and the one nice thing I like too is like with using a framework is I can use those, I can use variables in the CSS. So I can just drop it in and I'm not hard coding colors. I can just have it pull the colors from the customizer and the styles that I'm using there.
Will it pull from your default colors in Astra?
Yeah, you can do that as well. You just have like, because they have variables for
Yeah,
those.
primary value, something like
Yeah.
that. You just have to know what those values are and then just pop them in there. I might play around with that. Core framework, is that free?
Yeah, it's free if you're using Gutenberg.
Yeah, all right, excellent.
Yeah,
Excellent.
you only have to pay if you're using like bricks or one of the other page builders.
Oxygen, it looks like.
Yeah.
Very intriguing. Yeah, because I want to get to where I'm super happy with it so that as I start to like talk about Astra and Spectra more, anyone that, because again, I'm big on Thrive, but like anyone that wants to like migrate, I want to be able to like have a definitive solution because I just know as soon as I start talking more about Astra and Spectra, it's going to come. I'm going to get comments like, how do I make my typography look right? And I'm going to be like, I don't know. I don't want to say that. I want to be like, oh yeah, all you have to do is do this and it works perfectly. So that's cool.
Found the YouTube video to where he says build your own fluid typography framework. Do y'all like that?
Yeah, that'll work. You want to drop it in the there. Awesome. I'm going to bookmark that.
Oh yeah, that was
Yeah.
a really good video. I remember watching that.
Yeah. So I took some pointers from that. But he uses the Bricks Builder, but I was using Cadence. But I figured out how to make it work when I just dropped that in the I didn't see it. I put it in the functions.php file and have it load there. So if people were trying to tinker with it, they can't really mess with it that much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that and see. I'm gonna try both ways. I'm gonna try the core framework because Larissa, you said it's not completely compatible with Astra. Like,
Yeah, I mean it works well like the CSS code itself, but then there's a little like sidebar where you can quickly add tags of CSS classes, and that doesn't like quite work so
oh,
well.
okay. So like Generate Press is doing, where you can generate your own class styles and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Rob,
so
you
you
got your
build it
hand
like
up?
all your classes in the plugin, and then there's like a little sidebar where you can add stuff.
Okay, cool. Rob, you had a
Yeah,
question?
something just popped into my head, Doug, because one thing that I'm well behind on is getting my late point set up. And I was waiting at the start of the year for a big upgrade that was due to come by the end of January. And I remember somewhere in the community or on a chat somewhere recently, you said that you were also waiting for like a big upgrade or something. I couldn't remember what the upgrade you were waiting for, and I can't remember if
Yeah.
it might have been the same thing I was waiting for. It's been so long since I looked at it, to be honest.
Yeah, so they've
But
come.
so yeah.
Let's say they were. I'm waiting on version 5. It's currently in like alpha
Right.
or beta. And they have a version out there that you can use, but it's not compatible with all of the add-ons, which boggles the mind because Latepoint requires add-ons to for it to work how I want it to. They're being slow on it. I think they're being slow on it because they're like, I think they changed a lot of how they wanted to proceed with the plugin. And I know that they acquired it. So they acquired the dev team that's working on it, which I think was one person. And so this person is probably the only person working on it. I can't imagine they've allocated much more resources to it. Adam told me it should be this month that they should be ready to go with it. And I haven't rolled it out yet on my site because I need the ability for someone. Well, after yesterday, Rob, I might change my mind on this because I do the bundled calls, but I have been holding off using it because the bundled calls were my money maker. And so like if Latepoint couldn't do them until now, but it has to come out of beta for me to want to use it. But I have played with the beta.
Okay.
I have played with the beta. It's wonderful. It does everything I want it to do. So I'm super happy. I'm not deploying beta software on my live site. And then if it doesn't work with my add-ons, I'm not going to use it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Now that makes a lot of sense. Because I was just, for me, it's the bit that it's holding up for my business is, or it's probably me just not implementing it, is the whole working with these local guides, where they're quite keen to use my website as a bit of a kind of a shop front really for their services, and I just take a slice when people come through and book, but they just go straight through to their calendars, and then they can sort of self-manage it all. So I just kind of, I'm just the storefront really for those people.
Yeah, hopefully
Is
this
there
month.
anything, is that, yeah, so there must be, so if it's a version 5, sounds like they're working on a bunch of stuff then. It's quite a big upgrade then.
Yeah, it's a full upgrade to a lot of the interface. So a couple things. It's a
Right.
huge upgrade to the back-end interface. You used to have to jump into like 10 different sections to edit one thing. They've kind of condensed it all. It's a much better user experience, which means I'm going to have to make a whole new video on it. They've added the ability to they've cleaned up how the customization works, and they've added more customization to the front end.
Oh,
And
good.
then they've added obviously more features like bundled calls, group calls. Like they've added more to the functionality. There's a whole I think actually Adam made like a whole list of what's coming in version 5.
Oh, did he?
It's somewhere in
I'll
the
have to look
Facebook
that
group.
up. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's in the Facebook group somewhere. Yeah, it'll be good. The key thing that's really got me excited about Latepoint is the user experience for someone that books a call. It's something that Fluent Booking doesn't. Fluent Booking is getting much better, by the way, but something Fluent Booking still doesn't do is provide that hub where once a user has booked a call with you, they can get this beautiful hub where they can rebook calls and they can see info on their past calls, and that is going to be like beautiful for me, particularly since I'm considering doing what we talked about yesterday and only offering calls to members of All Access, because then what I could do is protect that page behind All Access membership so that you can't book a call with me unless you're a member. You can't access that portal unless you're a member. Keeps it really nicely integrated for me.
And remind me, Doug, because it's just so long since I looked at this stuff, but how does Latepoint integrate with like the account creation on the back end of WordPress and like something like Surecart? Is it all
So
standalone, or is it, does it work together?
what I like about it is it doesn't have to create a user. It just uses their email. And I'm sure there's something in the SQL database, I'm sure, but like it doesn't have to create a WordPress user. So what I'm going to do is I think, well, now that I talk about this, my plans would completely change if I went for a members only approach. I would put it on my subdomain and I would tie it to WordPress users. So they have the option for you to say, yeah, associate it with WordPress users. That solves the problem. Or you can say, don't create a WordPress user. Just let the user enter their email and let them set a password. And that doesn't create an account, but it creates like an access that they get into. And I'm sure in the SQL database, there's the semblance of a same concept, right? A username and password, whatever. But it's not a WordPress user. So if I were to ever delete Latepoint and delete those database rows and columns, I wouldn't have them stuck inside my WordPress website as a user. I wouldn't have all the breadcrumbs of a user in my WordPress site. It would just be, I could just chop off that appendage and be done with it. I really liked that because for me, I could put it on the front end of on Convology.com and let users just access their calls from Convology.com without ever hitting my subdomain. So since so for someone using just one website, you'll have the option associate with WordPress users, or I can't be bothered with that. Just let them have a enter their email and password, and they can see all their bookings, all their past bookings, book new ones, manage new things, etc.
Yeah, because for me,
That was enticing.
I quite like the idea of them having a kind of relationship with the Real Japan as the brand, even though the service is delivered by kind of what I call partners. But the partners will probably just be happy with that because they're kind of just like solo businesses where they just really they offer services online like travel planning or they do these tour guiding type things. They tend not to see those people ever again. They're kind of quite often they're just one-off customer service things that they're doing. But what they want is something like a platform like the Real Japan to be like a storefront because they're getting all the traffic. And then we just do a revenue split. But for me, I'd like to keep that relationship. So for me, it would be quite good actually if I've got the option for them to create a, or for me to create them with a WordPress account because then I can treat them like a member of the community, not my membership kind of thing that I'm building. Or at least they're in my ecosystem, so I could kind of upsell them or whatever.
Yeah, you could. I think that you can create like a hub for, I forget the term. I think they used to be called agents. That's one of the things they're fixing.
That's
Version
right.
5, you can
Yeah.
change the name
Oh,
agent.
good. Thank goodness.
Yeah, you can. I think you can give them a hub too. So the your vendors that you're working with wouldn't need to have an account on your website. They would just
Right.
access their
Good.
agent portal. And they would go in there, and it'd be beautiful. It'd be a front end experience only for them, not a back end WordPress experience. So on the
Right.
front end, they would log in as an agent and be like, "Okay, here's my whole calendar of people. Here's the," and it's it. I think it will work very well for what you're trying to do.
Just one other follow-up on that then, Doug. I'm just thinking about because I've got an affiliate program for partners that I'm running at the moment through Thrivecart, and I want to bring that into Surecart's world once that's fully up and running. I don't think it's up and running yet. Is it running at all, their
It is,
affiliate?
yeah. That actually, just yesterday or the day before, they released the ability. They released internal management of your affiliates on your own site rather than external. There's still a catch to that. It's CNAMEs are coming soon, which means you'll be able to white label the
Ah, okay.
URL. But it's still, I think, going to be an external setup for affiliates. But it's going to look like it's from you. And
Oh,
they'll
okay.
only see your business, whereas now they can see all the other businesses. I don't know. They keep waffling on that. But yeah, and they added coupons for affiliates. So what I think you would want to do is give your vendors a special coupon,
Yeah.
like Japan Tours, and have that, if that's the name of their business, they could have their customers enter in that coupon. And not only does it give them credit for the sales, so they don't have to worry about linking affiliate links. It just ties it to them, and then it can give, if you wanted to give discounts, it could give discounts. So like if they referred people to the Real Japan to buy your ebooks and your maps and stuff, give them discount code company name, they drop it in. That's all they have to do to get the discount and affiliate credit. Because
Oh, wow, that could be
they added a new section at the bottom of coupons to tie coupons to an affiliate.
right. Oh, that's interesting because I was not sure how they would talk to each other. Obviously, with the acquisition, it should make things simpler, but I wasn't sure how far the affiliate program was within Surecart yet, because I that was one of the main things that made me purchase that, as a switch from Thrivecart.
I'm so glad
Is
they
that
actually also finally added the ability to take attribute current customers to an affiliate.
Oh,
Is
they
that
did it? released? It's my same question as Kim. I was like, is that out
Yeah,
already?
so to do it, you have to go into the customer, and then down on the right hand side, like down at the very bottom, there's like an affiliate box, and you can select the affiliate that they belong to.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to actually be able to say a product. What if I have a service and I don't want it to be have a co affiliate commission on it? We can't do that yet.
Oh,
How can you
interesting.
not?
Like,
Yeah,
what do you
because
mean by that?
if you've got a product right now, all of your commissions are the same for every product.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't exclude a product from not being a part of the affiliate system.
Ah, because in Thrivecart, you just do it at the product level,
Which you
which I like because it's so granular. And you could do the variation on the commission at the product level as well.
they haven't gotten there yet.
I think they're working on
That's
that. I think I heard Adam say something about the effect that they're working on setting different affiliate commissions per product. So you would just put zero for your service and then put like,
Yeah, I thought that would have been like right out of the box, you
right?
know.
That I agree. I agree there.
That because that's been like, okay. Yeah.
That's a little strange.
Strange.
It is very strange.
I'm just so glad I can stop manually tracking these affiliates for this, for my business coach.
That's interesting. I never thought about. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, so I'm glad to know that that is live for the individual associations. I'm thinking of offering an affiliate program. I have one, and I have in the past offered one, for my own all access thing. But I mean, it's unfortunate I'm in such a weird industry, right? Like, you all have very little reason to recommend someone else come buy all access. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that
It's
terrible?
tricky. Yeah, it's
That's
tricky.
that stinks. It's
It's
terrible.
for me because I'm not in your space. I'm in a
I know.
completely different vertical, and it's like, what? Why would somebody
Yeah.
who's booking a trip to Japan be interested in that tech
Yeah.
stack? It's like, what's that even about? They
Or
just won't even
like,
understand the conversation.
right? Or like, LaRosa essentially does similar work, and Kim, it sounds like you probably do similar work too. And it's like, you're not going to go tell your customers you should go buy this guy's program. It's like, man.
The world we live in, but
Even though
yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that actually would tell my customers to do that if it was something they needed.
If it was
Yeah.
something they needed, yeah, and you didn't offer it, of course, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. So thankfully I have my fingers in other industries, and the SureCard affiliate program is would be beneficial there. It's
Yeah,
just
like some of the courses that I know you're working on, like I will definitely like refer people to those. Because like I'm very much the kind of person where it's like I'm not going to try to build the same thing that I know someone else that's a friend is doing.
Yeah.
Right. And you may not even be working with the same tech stack. I mean,
Right.
we're talking tech, but you know, I know you guys are doing Astro, which I liked, but I just chose Cadence for now. But you know, it's different.
Yeah, I get what you're all saying too. It's just my industry is so weird. Like I teeter on the edge. Like I'm also not one of those people that's like I don't consider myself in the guru market where I'm like slinging stuff like all the gurus on YouTube do. I'm just like, no, I'm actually a business person. I'm running a business. I don't make videos about things I don't use in my business. So it's like I'm very different in that way, but at the same time that also hinders me because now I'm not just slinging affiliate links and building hype. I'm now competing with the same people that are my customers, but I don't see it that way because for me it's
You're
like
genuine, so
there's too many people in this world for me to even be worried about competition. Heck, I used to only make money off of the Thrive themes market. If I could make money in the Thrive themes market, I can make money anywhere.
oh, really? Yeah. I have a question. We're talking about late point with the would you put late point on your subdomain or your main domain?
Yeah, this is kind of what I was hinting at. My original plan was I'll just put it on my main domain because people booking calls with me may not necessarily be buying courses and buying my membership. They can live on the primary domain and they don't get an account. They get a special late point login that just feels like a wonder. I made a video on this where I showed how wonderful that user experience is. It was originally going to go on my primary domain, but in yesterday's mastermind call, we were talking about me potentially taking my tech help calls and moving them only as a member feature. So like you have to be a member of Cavalogy All Access to book a call with me, just because my time's so limited. And if I did that, I would need a mechanism for tracking if they were a member. I can't do that on my primary domain because everything that tracks membership is on my subdomain. So I would have to put late point on my subdomain if I did that, which is not the end of the world because then members would easily access it through the community. There'd be a link to book a call with me there, or they would access it from my member dashboard or something like that. But I'm still mulling it over in my head. I might settle on member rates and non-member rates, and I might just raise my prices. Like right now I'm $199 an hour, and I haven't raised those prices in over 3 years. So I might say non-member calls are 250, and member calls are like 175 an hour. And then in that case, I would put late point probably just still on my primary domain, but I would give members like a special coupon or something. But in general, the reason I love late point right now is because of that flexibility. It's not tied to WordPress users, and if you decided to stop using late point, you can terminate it without feeling gross that you've made all these WordPress user accounts on an otherwise clean installation, which is my situation with Cubology.com. All right, we're bumping up on time now. Happy to answer any last minute questions before we wrap up.
I'm all done.
Cool. All right, thank you all for attending. It's nice to meet you, Kim and Tim. Nice to meet you both.
Yeah, hi guys.
I will I'm still trying to figure out where I'm putting these replays. I think for now I'm just going to keep dumping them where I've been putting them. I'll get last week's up as well. And then once Shure members and Presto Player figure out their thing with playlists and how they want to handle stuff, I might consider putting them there. I don't know. I'm going to link to them from the community no matter what. I'll just take that extra step and be like, here's the replay, go watch it. But that's how I'm handling it for now. All right,
Have a
thank
good
you
weekend,
all.
guys.
Have a nice
Good
weekend.
weekend.
Bye.
Take care.